Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
our commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball.
In partnership with Rockshore, bring you League of Ireland football, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Yes, you are welcome to another LOI pod on Off the Ball, heading into a weekend where we'll be broadcasting one of the most anticipated fixtures of the season. The League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore, a league of our own. That is hashtag a league of our own. Drink responsibly. See drinkaware.ie. Stephen with you this week. And as ever, I'm joined by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn. Great to see you as ever, lads. We come to you off the back of another wild weekend in the League of Ireland Men's Premier Division. Just four teams came away from the bank holiday weekend unbeaten. Drogheda United, who of course remain top of the table. Shamrock Rovers, who are now second and a point off Drogs ahead of this Friday's top of the table clash. Derry City, who are now in third place and like Rovers on 23 points. Waterford, three wins in a row for interim boss Matt Lawler, which means the Blues are six off the top as their new manager John Coleman takes over. We have Saints in fourth place, Bowes fifth, Galway United just behind them, Shelburne seventh, Waterford, Cork City and Sligo Rovers then bringing up the rear. The big match on Off the Ball on News Talk this Friday night, Shelburne versus St Patrick's Athletic. I'll be in the commentary box alongside Keith Tracy from 7 o'clock and you can listen on the radio or download the Off the Ball app, of course, to listen to that. Elsewhere on Friday, we've got Cork City hosting Derry City. Drogheda United go to Shamrock Rovers for that top of the table clash. It's Shelburne at home to St Pat's, which I have mentioned. Waterford hosting Galway United. And on Saturday, it's Sligo Rovers against Bohemians. And now, lads, as a card carrying member of the CHU, I have to stick my oar in for my comrades of the GKU. Do you know who they are? The CHU, that's the Centre Halves Union. And the GKU is the Goalkeepers Union. And I want to know, how come Joseph Anang, after all the praise we gave him a couple of weeks ago, how was he not in your top three last week with Nathan? Typical, defenders and goalkeepers never get a look in. Ridiculous.
He's just doing his job, isn't he?
Jesus. Unbelievable. Well, what I do want to ask you, let's put this beef behind us, lads, because I want to find out if either of you have had any beefs when you were in the League of Ireland as a manager or player or whatever the case may be, because we've got a really hot beef going on at the moment. And in fact, it looks like it's going to carry on, because Stephen Bradley in his press conference today says he doesn't need to reach out to Damien Duff. When he wants to say something, he'll say it, and basically that's that. So Gareth, I think you're too nice to be having beefs with people. I can't imagine you having any long term kind of falling outs with any players when you're on the pitch.
Big time, Steve-O. I try never to put on a tackle. They have any beefs, you know what I mean? I think the only time I had a bit of beef was with Paul O'Zam, believe it or not. Remember big Paul O'Zam, centre midfield for Pats. He put me out for 12 weeks with a bad tackle, late tackle. And I was fuming I was. But apart from that, no real beefs. Managers, you're always going to have beefs with. Managers leaving you out, not picking you, releasing you, all that stuff. But no major beefs, bar big Paul. We had some battles back in the day. And you got to remember, I mean, I'm a slight fella. When I was 18, 19, 20, I was built like a 12, 13-year-old. I was slight. And coming up against him, and again, we talked about it before, that Pats midfield of Martin Russell, Paul O'Zam, we used to just get torn to shreds. They were a serious side.
Yeah, Vinny, you've had beefs with everybody. Media, the other managers, players.
Yeah, and in fairness to the two lads, like, I have to be careful. I nearly gave myself a compliment there. Sorry. To be fair to the two lads, when you're trying to win stuff, you've got to stand on someone's head to get there a little bit, or on their throat, in fairness. And most elite athletes in team sports will fall out with different people. So, got to give them a little bit. It's interesting. I haven't heard this, and Steve-O, you probably follow the media more than me. But one of the big things that happened in the game, I was there, I think it was there with News Talk on the night, was going back to the original game where there was no handshake between Bradshaw and Duffer is there was an incident in the middle of the, I think it was the first half, where Rovers players went down. And he went down and Rovers played on for 5 or 6 seconds, basically got dispossessed. But they were trying to score a goal on the edge of Shell's box. Shell's broke and kept the ball. And what often happens is then Shell's become the bad boys for not putting the ball out. And you're like, well, you just didn't put the ball out while your man was down. So then there's friction on the bench. And it got quite heated on the bench. A couple of lads on both sides, Shell's and Rovers, were lucky not to be sent off. Particularly in the modern world with referees, two of the backroom staff got a yellow card each. But so that's a context I don't think I've seen anywhere or anybody discussed that context. Now, I know Duffer has spoken about comments Bradley made about being a bit emotional and stuff like that. That ultimately, that's what bothered him. But also, in game, there's so much beef between people on benches. So I've been to Tala as a manager, okay? And one game that sticks out in my mind, and not to make this about me or Dundalk again, but it's my only way of giving you a manager's experience of it recently. But in 2019, I think it was, we beat them 1-0 up there. But there was a bit of beef on the bench over a couple of things, and I had been building. And, you know, it's a tough place to go. And the reason I brought up that incident that happened in the first half in that game is, the result of the two benches falling out with each other is Duffer would have shipped a lot. I know he did. A lot of criticism from the fans behind him. And he's experienced that over his career. He's played at a really high level. He would have got a lot of that internationally and domestic and in the Premiership. So you've got to understand where people are coming from. So I'm sort of, I understand why Duffer done what he done. So I've been in that exact same place as him. I've experienced a lot of hostility in that stadium that day I'm talking about. Since then, it's been fine, thank God. So I understand where he's coming from. What I did on my day was I shook Stephen Bradley's hand and I didn't shake any of the other staff's hand that day. Okay, because what was coming at me, because where I was coming from, because of the tension, I felt people on the opposition bench disrespected me. So I didn't shake their hand and I haven't since in the football terms. So I think there's a line you can't cross. I think appealing for yellow cards, appealing for throw-ins, corners, etc., is part of the game. And you've got to find a balance with that. So I've got huge sympathy for Damien Duff on this one, okay? And why I have a lot of sympathy on him for is that the two of them should have sorted it out themselves and had the row, had the discussion down with them, knocked on a dressing room door. If you wanted to, you know, expletives going each way, deal with it then. I didn't like that it was in programme notes 2 weeks later. Whatever about, and I've made mistakes in press conference after matches. I remember bringing up a really, an incident that I shouldn't have brought up, which with John Sheridan, but did happen despite the leaks on my bench to certain people. It did happen, but I shouldn't have brought it up. So it's very difficult to, but this is 2 weeks later Bradley has brought this up.
Yeah,
so
I've got we should explain as well that it was in an interview in the match programme with Shamrock Rovers. It wasn't like Stephen Bradley just writing his notes in the programme. So,
come on, though. I've heard that before. I'm not going after Bradshaw here. I've a huge amount of time for Stephen Bradley. But it's in there for a reason, okay? Yeah. Let's be honest about it. Yeah. It's an in-house interview. So I've got huge sympathy. It's a difficult place to go, Tala. You're going to get a huge amount of criticism. And I remember my outpouring of emotion that day for... I felt vindicated. My team had won. I found I'd won the battle with the benches. So the bigger point I'm trying to get is sometimes, rightly or wrongly, people fight on sidelines because it's a battle. You feel like you're maybe influencing a fourth official or referee's decision or different bits and pieces, and you don't back down. Two alpha males on that bench, both sides of them went for each other. And Duffer is the most loyal person, one of the most loyal people I've ever met in sport. When he's on your side, he's on your side forever, okay? So I get it, and I get where he was coming from. But at the same time, having said all of that, I think he should have shook Bradshaw's hand. So, but I get where he's coming from. It's a really difficult situation to be in.
Yeah, and I'd say it's awkward for Joey O'Brien as well, of course, who would have great relations with everybody at Shamrock Rovers after playing there and and working there, and he's obviously now on the Shells bench, so it must be awkward for him. Of course, Duffer and Stephen Bradley, I shouldn't be using his nickname, they would have worked together when Duff was a coach there at the Shamrock Rovers Academy. I just wondered the root of this as well. Could, like, and some people have spoken about this in the last few days, just about Bradley's comments, Gareth, last season when he was kind of saying, look, about the standard being really poor last season. And I just wonder if that's kind of being kind of just, I suppose, just nibbling away at Duff, like, you know, kind of thinking, oh, well, what's he trying, kind of throwing a bit of shade at our league title success here by saying it was an average season.
Yeah, and to me, that's where it all started. To me, it was a complete slap in the face from Stephen Bradley to Damien Duff, because they were top. It looked as if they were going to continue to be top, in which it happened, and they ended up being champions. Again, nobody's going to look back at history and go, oh, that was a bit of a poor season. They only got this amount of points. They were champions. The league table doesn't lie. That's a wonderful thing about football. They were the best team in the league that year, but that was the start of it for me. And Stephen Bradley, to say that, did two things. It was a bit of a joke with a jab to Shelburne, but it also was kind of a little bit of an excuse for his own players, and kind of painted over the crack of how poorly they were doing. So he knew what he was doing back then. He knows what he's doing now. I think both managers need this. I think they need it psychologically. The both of them are under pressure. The both of them have been in their roles now for quite a while. Both have had success. Not going well now. They need to pick a fight. And who better to pick a fight with than the other big personality within the league? So I think this is something that, yes, it might have been festering, but they're bringing it to the fore now for a reason. And I think it's going to do the two of them good. Because let me tell you something. I watched Shelburne on Friday night in a Brandywell, and they were atrocious. So I think Damien Duff needs something like this to get him going again.
We'll come back to Shelburne and how they're playing. Just, I suppose, to put the cap on this one. Look, and listen, I know it's serious stuff for the two men involved and for the coaches and all that. It's not just, you know, this is their livelihoods, and the relationships that they have around football are all affected by this. So it is serious business for them. But from outside, you know, it is great publicity for the league, you know, because there are people who wouldn't take much of an interest in League of Ireland football will definitely be interested in seeing Damien Duff and Stephen Bradley having a war of words. And I suppose as well, it's just that, like, you know, Gareth's alluding to it there, but the fact that this is the kind of thing that might drive both managers on. Like, even think back to the days of in the Premier League, like some of those famous, I suppose, clips that we see from the Premier League going back over the years. Alex Ferguson's mind games with Kevin Keegan, you know, him and Wenger going head to head and, you know, saying stuff about each other. And this is the kind of thing that gets people interested, as well as the football itself.
Yeah, you've only to look at the most recent history of Caulfield and Kenny.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to Pat Dolan and Fenlon stroke Ollie Cal, all of that stuff, Damien Richardson. So it is part of the game. It's part of different bits and pieces. But it's not like, I don't think it's made up in any way sense. I don't think it's something that's, I don't buy into, I don't think Duffer does these cheap shots. I think he genuinely feels, I can't speak for Damien, I don't know him well enough, but I don't think he feels, oh, I'll get my players going by this. There is some managers who start a row at halftime in a tunnel just to kick something off or get one of his staff to do it just to put fire in the belly of his team. So they're all little games. I mean, it's a little bit why, and I get diving is the holy grail of cheating, but it's a little bit why I have a little snigger of people, ex-pros or pundits, giving out about people looking for an edge, whether it's diving or appealing for stuff. We're all doing that. And as I said, you cannot be successful unless you've worked out the dark arts. I mean, it's a great stadium where a team plays in, and not many people have noticed this. I mean, we all know about the goalkeeper lying down at the moment. It's the most obvious one. But there's a great venue now where if a team is 1-0 up or 2-0 up, the ball boys go disappearing with 10 minutes to go. I mean, I've noticed it because I can see things now where I'm watching games. So I've noticed that over the last two and a half year period. But it's interesting. So the game is played out with loads of dark arts, loads of people trying to influence referees, little moments, hundreds of them, and they're part of the culture of it. Some of them cross the line. And going back to the spat real quickly, should be, there's a line, football stuff. I've crossed the line a couple of times on the line. Okay, I regret, remember crossing the line with Pat Fenlon once. I don't know Pat that well, personally. but it still plays on my mind. I know I was out of order. I went too far. And it kills me. But I've also had people go too far with me as well. But it's what happens. It's the heat of that 90 minutes. As I said, you do anything for your team. But there is times where you cross the line. And I think this one has dragged on a little bit too long. And that's why I go, do you know what? It doesn't need to be in any program. It just needs to be killed and nailed. And while it's great publicity, it's something about nothing underneath it all. Ultimately, both of them have jobs to do with their teams, albeit Rovers in a hell of a lot better position than Shells are on in terms of where they're at, not just points in the league, but how they're playing.
Well, we'll actually come back to the dark arts, because Brady had some interesting quotes from his press conference today regarding that going into the game against Drogheda United. Some very interesting stuff. Before that, though, GMAC, Derry City started with 3 defeats in their opening 4 matches under new boss Tiernan Lynch. In their last 9 matches, they've enjoyed 6 wins and 1 draw. So what has changed?
I don't think fundamentally, Steve, that anything's changed. I mean, you've got a manager here coming into the League of Ireland for the first time. He's come from the Irish League. We've talked about it in this podcast before. It is a step up, whether you like it or not. Whether you've played in the Irish League, you've managed in the Irish League, there's very few managers that have made the step and it's actually worked out. And that's going back as long as you want. So it was always going to be a step up. Then you think about the timing when he came on board. It was late in the window. All the other clubs had their business done. He was scrambling. And we saw with the signings, and we've talked about it before, these signings now have come in. He's had to get them fit. He's had to get them into his system. And the system is the big thing. When he managed Larne, they were always 3 at the back. It was a 3-4-3, even a 5-2-3 at times, or a 3-5-2. That's where he had his success. And he's now got the players in the positions. The players are fit. They're not suspended. I talked about Winchester last week. He's now in there and a big, big part of it. So that, along with the training facility out at Own Big, you've got the players that are getting used to each other. We talked about it about 3 weeks ago. It was interesting, the night out, the videos that were going around. I don't know if everybody saw them, but believe it or not, see, when you've got a new group of players, and Vinny will probably tell you this as well, when I went into a new dressing room, there was only one place that I wanted to go to get to know the rest of the team, and that is for a beer. And actually get away from your everyday workplace, relax, and actually find out about people, their families, what they like, what they don't like, and actually get to know them. Because when that goes on the pitch, you're breaking your backside to go for that ball or put your head in the line for people that you know. And if you don't know them that well, it's very difficult to do that. So Derry, you could see now players are getting fit. They're getting a lot better. I mean, the 2 games at the weekend, Shelburne on Friday night, Pats on Tuesday, it was out of possession. They were unbelievable, Derry. Very, very, very good. Weren't overly good going forward. I mean, some people would look at those 2 results and 3 goals, 0 conceded, and go, Derry must be flying. I think against Shells were just miles off it, and we can go into that later. They were so bad, I don't know what's going on. And then Pats were a wee bit better, but again, it came down to a set piece and 2 mistakes for the 3 goals. But Derry, credit-wise, energy, out of possession, they did not let either team breathe.
So you're.
I think what's interesting about that, Steve, is see the Gareth touched on it, having the training base. Being full-time is one thing. Being full-time in a proper structure. Remember, like, we introduced the breakfast room in Dundalk, and you'd walk in, lads chatting to each other, talking about the day, talking about what they'd done, what they didn't do. All the little things, it's how you build a team. It's so crucial having those little things. Obviously, you can be full-time, and there's some clubs full-time and they're looking for training grounds here and there. They're driving cars, and you're still in your same clique, the 4 fellas you travel with maybe. But when you sit around changing rooms or a breakfast room, for argument's sake, or in the gym before training, you see the real quality people who Ronan Finn was brilliant at it. For me, I remember Ronan very clearly. He would cross the divides in the dressing room, as in, we didn't have lots of divides, but there's always people, like we had the Derry crew, we had the Dublin crew, we had the people living together in Dundalk. But Ronan was brilliant at, and I don't know what he even knows he was, but he was brilliant at having a friend of each group to which brought all the other different groups together. And then sitting around having breakfast before training would be where all of a sudden they're all little small points, but they knit together that little team. And ultimately, us footballers see it as going to war for your teammate on a Friday night. And if you have that camaraderie that Derry have started to find now, I still think, I still have concerns about Derry. I still can see them losing two or three games in a row as well. But with all of the quality they have, when they play well, Derry are as good as anybody in the league. I'm just not sure they're as consistent enough over the season.
But funny, just to touch on the last thing, Vinny, there you mentioned about the camaraderie. The game has changed so much from when we played as well. When we played, it was majority local players when I was with Derry. You might have had the odd one or two. Now these teams are full of multinational. They're completely diverse. So you have to get them together and you have to get them understanding each other, positives, negatives, and then understand that the mission or the journey that they're on. But if you don't do that, it's almost impossible. And that's what the previous managers at Derry have been fighting against. It's been an absolute shit show. Training here, training there, different times, different facilities, good facilities, bad facilities. Now, Owen Begg's not perfect. The surface there is a Gaelic pitch. That's something that's going to have to be addressed. But when you consider the gym, breakfast together, eating together, the rehab, all of that, it's brilliant.
I wonder if Robbie Benson still got the board games going. He probably a bit early in his Derry career, but he was a good man for a few board games, believe it or not. But it sounds so basic. I'd hear lads railing over a board game. Yeah.
I think it's table tennis they have now up there.
But I guarantee you, Benson, because Mickey Duffy would have asked him to put them in the bag when he was travelling up from Dublin.
He's a well-educated man. I imagine it's a Trivial Pursuit and chess, that kind of thing, is it?
It's a bit of everything. Hitler and all sorts of mad. I don't know where he came up with these games. Just brilliant crack and calling each other different bits and pieces around the game. But they're all small parts and it's a bit the fans don't see. You know, as I said, you do ultimately feel like you're going to war with your teammates. With 2 minutes to go, you're winning 1-0. You look around and your mate is there. It's so much different, you know,
You're seeing that, having watched them now close together against two of the best sides in the country. It's the work rate that's got me, the energy. It's unbelievable. It really is. And they would remind you of Shelburne last year. I don't know if they're that at that level, but they completely outworked the opposition. They outworked Shelburne.
That's a huge thing on Tiernan Lynch. He has this team fit. Being no illusions.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Higgins didn't. That's a really lazy way of putting it. But there's a new found bit of fitness there. You imagine they're trying that intensity, and there's a certain amount of standards he's getting from people. And sometimes you need that when a new manager comes in to shock you a little bit and go, oh, shit, yeah. And I'm not saying they can do it over a season, but you can certainly see they're a lot fitter now than they were earlier on in the season. Understandably so, to where some of the players are coming from. But Tiernan Lynch deserves huge credit for the way they've turned around from that point of view.
Yeah, his post-match was interesting as well after the Pats game, Gareth, because he was asked a question. He kind of steered it. He basically said it was along the lines of, look, I want to make sure that all of these players know how important it is and the honour and the pride there should be in pulling on the red and white Derry City stripes. Like, is he a real vibes manager? Is he kind of one of these managers that kind of takes, I suppose, a hands-off approach to the on-the-pitch stuff, and he's a real motivating manager, or does he get involved with the tactic side of it as well?
Him and the brother do everything. They do everything. He gets involved in everything. And I think he said that because basically the new stands there, you wanted to hear the atmosphere on against the Pats. It was incredible. Really, really good. They were fighting for every ball. The crowd were helping them. So he understands how much the crowd is going to be of benefit for them. But you've got that sort of complexity of Owen Begg's amazing, but it's an hour outside the city. I mean, ideally, you want that facility in the city so that when the players finish training, they're walking around the town, they're speaking with the supporters, they're going for a coffee, they're going to play board games in the city. That's not happening. So he's got to almost manufacture that connection between the players and the fans. And only being able to do that on a Friday night is difficult because the players, some of them are living in Derry, some of them are living in Belfast. It's quite fractured. Again, not his fault. But he understands that that not having that is definitely a disadvantage. Whereas if he can get that, as well as the tactical stuff, the fitness stuff, the other stuff that he brings from Larne, then he's got a hell of a choice, a hell of a chance of winning some football games. But that's something he has to work on.
Vinny, Tim Clancy said that it looks like Shaunie Maguire will be fit for their game against Derry City at Turner's Cross this weekend. I'd imagine because he'd only played a game and gets injured, it's unlikely he'll start this weekend. But do you think he could make an appearance and cause Derry City any problems?
Yeah, I think, well, to be fair to Shaunie, he seems to that he loves the whole sort of Cork project. And I think he needs that little bit of experience as well. Obviously, losing Keating is a huge blow for them. A lot of decent young players and getting a lot of exposure. The advantage they're having at the moment is they're ahead of Sligo. They'll be watching over the shoulder and they'll be chasing down Waterford and seeing Waterford pick up so many good results recently. But Shaunie just adds that little bit of experience to the group. And, you know, what is experience? It's hard to know. Like, it's a lazy comment, like, oh, just because you're older and you're blah, blah, blah. But I think it's that little know-how and just with so many young players, just to say, hey, doing all right here, we're in this game, relax. The opposition might have a spell. You might be, like, think about it, went against them late goal the other night against Rotterdam. Sometimes you need some bit of experience going, this is grand. It could be a small little chap defending the corner, say, we clear this, we're 2 minutes from home, this is a huge point for us. Stay calm, where young players' heads are frazzled, they're watching everything, what's going on. And it's just those little moments that the experienced players know when the right time to say them. And then ultimately, like, if Cork get a chance, you hope it falls to Shaunie, because you know 9 times out of 10 you find the back of the net for them. So it's big for them, but expect them to take the time with them, because they've got to see they've got to see out the whole season as opposed to a short-term view on it.
Yeah, absolutely. We mentioned Shelburne there. Well, Gareth, you were talking about how poor you felt they were at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. I was looking at the league table. They've conceded 15 goals after 14 matches so far this season. Last season, they conceded 27 across the whole term in 36 matches. Like, that says a huge amount. Now, Paddy Barrett aside, are we looking at this change to a back three? Has that been a big mistake, do you think, by Damien Duff and his coaching staff?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, the spine of the team weren't playing on Friday night. You've got Barrett, Coyle and Boyd. Coyle was a big miss as well. Don't get me wrong. The other two boys were good players. But I think Coyle just brings that bit of steeliness. But I think overall, the way they tried to play, I think it's a bit of lack of identity. I mean, last year's Shells were very, very good in the structure. They knew exactly what they were doing. They had players in positions that they knew exactly what they're doing. I look at it the other night, everything was in front of Derry City. It was almost they were trying to be something that they're not. They were passing it. They were nice and on the eye. It was great. But when they got to the final third quarter of the pitch, it was gone. Everything was back. Now, granted, Derry deserve huge credit for the pressure they put on them. But every time went down to midfield, it was back. Eddie Beku, I was massively, I would have been pulling my hair out if I was him. He ended up coming back to the midfield just to try and get on the ball. They weren't getting up to him at all. If you think about the first match of the season when Shells played Derry, they played two up and they created it was at least double figures, the amount of chances that they created. They scored three and they could have probably had three or four more. They did not lay a glove on Derry on Friday night. I couldn't believe how passive they were, how gentle they were. There was no ruggedness about them. There's no steeliness. And then the show on the sideline, Damien Duff, which we all love watching, it was non-existent. He stood there with his arms closed, or arms folded, sorry. And I just didn't see any reaction from him. And the first half was abysmal. They started okay in the first 10, 15 minutes. But after that, there was nothing. I actually saw Joey O'Brien going up there and saying to him, right, we need to do something. We change something. This ain't going well. But there was nothing. John Martin came on and it made a bit of a difference again, having the two up front. But balance-wise and structure, it didn't look good.
Yeah, what do you think, Vinny? Is there something deep here, or is it just the Paddy Barrett thing? Mark Coyle was missing at the Brandywell. He was back. Now, in fairness, Mark Coyle was back for the game against Waterford, which they lost 1-0 on Monday night. Duff's post-match interview, even, he just seemed so just down in the dumps, you know? He just seemed like a manager that's really struggling to see what's or how he fixes. I'm sure he knows what's going wrong, but how he fixes it.
Yeah, it's... it's strange because, I mean, the one thing this league does is it makes you very reluctant to make any sort of predictions, because Dallas could win the next three or four games in a row and everything's rosy in the garden. But I watched Lars Schoen's back of the Derry game, and I got 60 minutes of before we obviously done the Rovers, Shamrock Rovers and Sligo Rovers game. So I had to leave it after about 60 minutes, and it was like so un-Shelbourne in the sense of just lacked a little bit of energy, a little bit of intensity, is the word I would use. So look, and the big thing, a lot of managers have used this word, maybe it's a new buzzword in coaching I haven't picked up on, but, you know, fine margins. And Odebeko had a great chance 1v1 and he scuffed it wide, and you just think if he scores that, he'd go on and kick on in the game. Obviously Pádraig Hammond got the early goal, but there's two sides of it. Damien has definitely changed how they play. They're keeping the ball a lot more, and they're more progressive. They've seen to have better people up the pitch, but ultimately they haven't won the big moments, and the big moments in football are crucial if you're going to win any league or kick on. And you go back to this time last year, Will Darvis was born in it up, plus they were defensively solid. So they had that 4-3-3 shape, and Darvis would do, like, remember the game down in Richmond Park where he got two goals and just turned the game on the head for them. I was at that game, it was a 50-50 game. And I think it's a bigger point about the league. There's a lot of teams struggling a little bit at the moment because you're waiting on big players to seal that big moment for them. And that's why I referenced Jarvis this time last year. So they've changed how they're playing. So they're a knock-on effect of being higher up the pitch, having more balls, taking more risky passes around midfield is when it turns over, you're now more vulnerable than when you were this time last year. So it's the law of averages. Their possessions is stats have nearly doubled, almost doubled from where they were last year. So it's one of them. Could you went into the season and done the exact same thing, 4-3-3 solid, and let people beat the fourth press and move on to the second press? Probably could have. Or he felt he needed to involve the team. So but I would be concerned about where Shells are at the moment and how they're playing. Becoming champions, I felt they'd kick on. Really did, and when you look at some of the players, they just haven't kicked on, and it seems a little bit of weight around them, a pressure to get results at the moment where they didn't really have that. The only one that stands out to me a mile away, Evan Caffrey's gone up levels. He looks like he's walking like a champion. He looks like he's up the levels. A lot of the others, obviously McEnroy is close to one of the better players in the league, absolutely great signing.
Do you know who's not getting mentioned though much, lads? And I think when he's on form and when he's starting for Shells, he's somebody that really contributes to that team up front, Sean Boyd. Because Sean Boyd is an absolute nightmare for defenders to defend against, and he brings other players into play. He's been out for the last three matches, a couple of sub-appearances before then. I think he's a huge miss for them.
Yeah, 100%. That whole spine was gone. I mean, Barrett, I don't think they've had a clean sheet since he went out of the team. So that tells you everything you need to know. But you're right about Sam Boyd. I mean, Martin came... Sean Boyd, you're right, 100%. He epitomises what we loved about Shelbourne last year. Big, rugged, but see, when he gets the chances, he's a serious finisher and he's a goal scorer and a goal threat. And when Hammond and Adebeko are up front, it's a real, real, real threat. We saw it in the first game. They're absolutely brilliant together. But again, you've got to complement those two players when they're staying up front, behind with people who are a bit more steely and can get the ball up front. Whereas against Derry on Friday night, they were trying to play through the thirds and they were just playing into Derry's hands. They had Winchester and O'Reilly sitting in front of the back three. There was just no space. There was no room to play wee short passes or slight passes through. It needed to go over into the channels where the two boys can run onto. But you're right, Sam Boyd, I mean, all those goals as well. You mentioned Will Jarvis. You take Will Jarvis's goals from last year and Boyd's goals from last year. That's a huge void to fill.
Steve, just real quickly, imagine Shells playing with Boyd, Odebeko, and Chapman behind them, with Coyle and McEnroy as the midfield. Three at the back and two wing backs. That's an exceptional team. I'd imagine that was part of Duffer's.
Well, he had Boyd and Odebeko started the first night of the season against Derry City, and they were absolutely incredible.
Yeah, no, and they were excellent. And the point is, I'd say on paper that was close to what you want. The problem is, by being a little bit more expansive in one area of the pitch, you're leaving gaps at the other end of the pitch.
Yeah.
And if, for that to work in your back three of whoever it may be, whether it's Barrett, Looney, Sam Bone, have to be excellent. And they have been excellent defensively. The goalkeeper was exceptional last year, probably the best keeper in the league. He's now come off the boil a little bit. So when it's not all in tune, those little fine margins go against you. Big moments, it be, then becomes a crisis on paper. They have a lot of fixing to do. It feels like Damien is still searching for his best way of playing with this group of players because, to be fair to him, probably because of injuries. I'd say on paper, he knew what he wanted to do with this group.
Yeah, and listen, if this is a transition period where he's going to become more progressive, then that's fine if he keeps playing like this. But let me tell you something. If I saw that the Shells from last year playing against the Shells from this year, there's only going to be one winner.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And I think as well, it's interesting because they served up the match of the season last season, Shells and St. Pat's, when they played last September. Really dramatic game. That's, of course, our live match this Friday night on Off the Ball on News Talk. Like it's Stephen Kenny's almost in a similar situation where like he's struggling just to kind of find a bit of form for his team, just to, you know, see them kind of knitting together all these players that he signed. And it's almost like a really hard game to analyse. Like, Gareth, do you think, could we see any kind of drama like we did last September, or is it just because these two teams aren't playing so well? It may not be as exciting as it was then.
No, I think you'll see drama. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's a game that Stephen Kenny will enjoy playing against, especially if Shells try and play that progressive game. If they go back and play like they did last year, which I don't think they will, then it'll be much more difficult for St. Pat's. St. Pat's struggled with Derry's structure and breaking them down. They created a couple of good chances. Mulroney got a header very early on that looked, I don't know if it was offside or not, but St. Pat's definitely have way more going forward than Shell's shown at the Brandywell last week. But that'll be a good game. I can see there being goals in that. I can see both teams really going for it. I can't see them sitting in and trying and hoping to see what happened. I think you'll see very much what you saw last year.
My man Grigowski wasn't good in the game, but that's the price of a centre half. They were going well with him. He brought in Sean Hoare. Sean's an experienced winner. He took Grigowski out of pitch. The mentality of the player is not in a good place, and he struggled in the game as well, to be fair.
Here's one funny, and I couldn't understand it, right? Anybody that follows League of Ireland knows that the Brandywell pitch is horrendous to pass the ball. It's bobbly. Those short passes get you in bother. Shells, Lunny played it back, conceded the second on Friday night. Grigowski tried to put it into the midfield. Again, got dispossessed. Unbelievable pass by O'Reilly, and Mullen finishes it. Why did he play like that whenever it's always through the middle? Now, Derry, in fairness to the structure, kind of they were covering from the wings, so they had to try and play through the middle. Derry were just dispossessing them and then hitting them in the counter attack.
I think the answer to that is I don't want to be a smart bastard here, but like, you can play football on them. It's just Derry have played some lovely.
No, you can't. When it's wet, Vinny.
Yeah, well, sure.
I've played on the pitch, and it's not like every other 3G, 4G pitch. It is a nightmare. The ball bobbles all around the place. So playing football is difficult at the best of times. On that pitch, it's way more difficult.
Yeah, so the answer to that is, look, I was lucky enough to stand around and watch one of the great teams playing on a very similar standard pitch. You can't do it. It helps if it's wet, agreed. But you can't throw out your principles and then all of a sudden go up to the Brandywell and kick the ball 70 yards constantly. You don't have the players for that. You haven't built your squad for that. It's difficult. I just think it's an error of you might need to make more passes, as you said, the one for Shells where it just gets away from a little bit. It's a sloppy pass. But at the same time, sloppy passes happen on grass as well. Sambone's got to kick that 40 yards then instead of, like, the touch is not good. Grant, volley it away. Have a go at the midfielder about the pass and move on. So it's fine balance, and you just got to manage in-game management of it all. So it's a little bit, my biggest concern around Pats is again, it's like they're searching. Some of the changes in games haven't been good. Go back to the balls game, Steve-O. That's not a Stephen Kenny way of saying, let's hang on here. Yeah. Bring on a fella. Like, you bring on Turner, who hasn't kicked the ball all year. I'd expect him to bring on a forward and get the second goal, not try and stop the other one.
Yeah, that's I was thinking back to when you both told me a number of weeks ago on the podcast about Stephen Kenny and how he approached games, and even if he was 2-0 up in a match, he'd be like, let's get more goals. That's why, if that was going around in my head as I'm watching him go to a back five and trying to defend that 1-0 lead at Dady Mount Park. That promises to be a cracker of a match. And lads, where time's against us here, I do want to touch on the top of the table clash, of course, between Shamrock Rovers and Drogheda United. Stephen Bradley, I'll just give you a little sample of his quotes here, because there's a bit of mind games going on here again from Stephen Bradley, and he may be finding himself not shaking hands with another manager in Kevin Doherty after this game. He's talking about the dark arts and how he feels Drogheda United employ them really well. He says they've been very good at what they're doing, said Bradley, very clever at what they're doing. They must have the most fouls in the league. They are very clever. They hit the deck at every opportunity. They get free kicks, which gives them the opportunity to put the ball in the box. They are very, very dangerous. He's obviously trying to put a little seed of doubt into the head of the referee before this game on Friday night. What do you make of that, Gareth?
Yeah, that's mind games at its very, very best. I mean, I just think it's out of order, you know. I mean, you're trying to get into the referee's head. You're trying to set the seed that, as he said, fouls, pulling back. You're asking for yellow cards. I don't like it, to be honest with you. I don't like it at all. And I'm surprised at Stephen Bradley as well, because he should have enough about him to be able to say, let's go and have a proper battle. Forget about all, you play how you play, I play how I play, and let's go and see who the winner is. I'm surprised at him. I'm surprised.
I think Drogheda United, Vinny, how good is this? Are they good enough to win at Tala, do you think, this weekend? Because the last one was a draw. Before that, Rovers have had two wins at Tala, and then that goes back to May 23 when Drogheda United had their last win at Tala Stadium. They had a bit of an Indian sign over Rovers for a while. That went away. But I'd say Kevin Doherty might be more motivated now, and that'll feed into the players after those Bradley comments on Friday night.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I understand everyone plays mind games and said the dark arts. Look, first of all, I think I still stick to the opinion that Rovers are going to win this league. I think they're starting to motor. There's a huge amount of things to like about them. I've been to a couple of the last few games between work and different things. There is flaws in them a little bit at the moment. You've got to get people fitter. You've got to be able to, but for the goalkeeper, Sligo are very unlucky in that second half. I think if Sligo had scored on Monday night, if they did about five corners in a row, he had to take off Bourke and Bourne just almost to see out the game. I think he'd more about them than that, but he had to do that, and you understand why Brads have done it. They're not firing on all cylinders. For me, they're still the favourites, and I'm okay with that. Best player should win the league. But, I mean, my only advice to Kevin is, go and see the fourth official just before the game. Attempt to count the amount of ball boys and see many stare at the end of the game. Because if Drogheda are losing, there won't be as many that started it. So play the game back, you know. Play the game back. Use that as motivation. Go up there. So what if Drogheda go up and do a smash and grab and win two free kicks and score off one? That's just the way. This is just a different way of doing it. Might be my way, might be Gareth's way, might be someone else's way. But I'll tell you what, and they're getting loads of plaudits, so I'm not going to say they're not. Fair play to what Drogheda are doing. There's a bit of honesty about it. There's a bit of, there's something to like about it.
Play to your strengths as well, Vinny. They've got Shane Farrell, who's arguably the best set piece taker in the league. He's brilliant.
So what has Kevin Doherty done really well this season? He's got his group of players, and when you're at a Drogheda, sometimes they're not all your fourth picks. For example, that's not being disrespectful to anybody. That's just the way it is. He's looked at them. You look at the goal. You look at Connor Kane's performance at wing back this season. The other side, the guy on loan, the right wing back, Lamb, is it?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, they're from the English guy. They brought.
Lamb.
Yeah, and you look at Lamb's movement, his acceleration, his overlap for the fourth goal against Cork. He goes on the overlap. You look at what Shane Farrell is doing, his work rate, his energy. You look at the intensity they're playing. You look at, as you said, the three centre halves, the way they work on set pieces. In the very best of your group of players. They're not doing anything wrong with it. Yeah. It's just a joy to watch. And best of luck to them. I don't think they have enough about them to be to win the league. I think if they manage to hang on to European spots, brilliant for them. But I also, part of me hope I'm wrong as well. Like, it's and we wish them well. So it's going to be a fascinating game on Friday.
Lads, it's been a fascinating podcast. We can get to touch on all the matches, but some really good stuff there. And I look forward to chatting to you maybe in a fortnight if Nathan's on next week. But thank you for listening. Enjoy your League of Ireland match this weekend, and we'll chat to you next week.